Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As we get ready for night one of the NBA Finals, we are already upping the drama. Giannis Antetokounmpo's status for game one continues to change. Is he going to get back out on the court, and is that even the best course of action for Milwaukee? It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll talk to Dave McMenamin, our ESPN NBA reporter, in about 10 minutes as we check in on this game. Mike Golic Jr., ACC Network host and reporter Katie George, kind enough to fill in for Janae Agwumike today. And Katie, how was your first experience so far? We got you through the hour of this show. We had Ryan Matlack on thin ice. We have the whole staff hitting smelling salts out here for some reason today. I decided that was a good idea to get everyone hype around here. Like, I know you've been with us once or twice before, but have we officially scared you off at this point?
No, if anything, you've given me severe FOMO. I have so much fear of missing out. Why am I not in that studio right now?
See, this is a fair point here. Jimmy, I guess that we go all the way up to Jimmy Pitaro, our boss, try and see if we can make this happen for Katie George, get her out here to lovely Connecticut, which I'm sure is exactly where you want to spend your summer, Katie.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So while we work on that and everyone here comes down off of the smelling salts here, because we're all just trying to get hyped for game one right now, and Katie, as we've talked about before, Adrian Wojnarowski and Malika Andrews reporting that Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose status was listed as doubtful going into today, has now been upgraded to questionable, and through round-the-clock treatment, he's looking to push to try and be available tonight. Katie, is this the best course of action? You know you worked around this Bucks team for a season, so you're used to Giannis Antetokounmpo, and you're a former college volleyball player. You know the athlete mindset is to get back out there. Is this the right decision for the Milwaukee, for the Bucks as an organization, as a team, to get him back out here as soon as possible for game one?
Well, I think hindsight is 20/20, right? If he comes back and they win, we're all going to say, oh, absolute geniuses for him pushing himself to get back on the court. I would say this, Mike. I don't think it's absolutely necessary that they have Giannis play in game one. I don't think dropping the first game, I'm not saying with or without Giannis that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to lose. I actually think the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis could fare really well against this Phoenix Suns team because they're playing so well as a collective unit based on the performances we saw from Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, as well as Brooke Lopez, even Pat Connaughton, a guy who comes off the bench. He's putting up maybe 9, 10, 13 points here and there, but he's somebody who impacts the game on the offensive boards with the extra pass. They're playing as a collective unit. So I don't think it's necessary for Giannis to return in game one and maybe push it too much at the start of this series. I think this team is flying high and has the utmost confidence, not only in themselves, but in one another, having won games 5 and 6 in dominant fashion against the Atlanta Hawks. So I don't think that they need to push Giannis to play. I think it's Giannis pushing for himself to play. I think he wants to get back out there more than anybody. He knows one speed. It's go, go, go. And he feels his best when he's playing basketball. And so I think he understands the magnitude of the moment, right? His first NBA Finals, and he wants to be a part of it. But I don't want them to put him out there and then it results in a loss because he's not 100% and he's not capable of moving around and being that bully we see underneath the basket or even on defense. Because if he's 75, 80, 85%, I think that the Suns, they're a good enough team that they're going to be able to recognize that fairly quickly, and they'll be able to exploit it as well.
Yeah, Katie, that's the biggest difference for me, because this is a very similar situation in my mind to what we saw in the Bucks-Nets series, where that's tied up at 2-2. James Harden's got the hamstring, and all of a sudden he goes from doubtful to questionable to probable and ends up going out there in a game where he looks like a shell of himself. And for James Harden, who is a guy who's going to light it up from three, whose game is predicated far less on athleticism, it's a different ballgame now with Giannis out there where you're right. If he's 60, 75, 80%, that's a huge hit off a guy whose game is overpowering people and overwhelming them with skills and gifts in that spot. I think the hardest thing for a team is to adjust when a player goes down mid-game or when you're getting a player back and you're not sure what it's going to look like. When you're used to Giannis playing a certain way, and now all of a sudden, Drew Holiday's maybe more deferential here. Chris Middleton's opting over to give Giannis touches because they're great teammates and they want to get him involved. And they just came off a time where they're shining right now, and I'm sure, even as much as players try and insulate themselves from this, Katie, Giannis has to be hearing some of the whispers about how good this team played without him, even if he's excited about it.
Sure. Yeah, I think he wants to just say, hey, don't forget about me. I still make this team better. And he certainly does. And maybe he's pushing for it because he wants to make sure that he can work through some of that rust, right? That there's still time for him to work through the rust. Because if you hold him out, say, games one, game two, even games three, and he doesn't come back till midpoint of this series, he doesn't have time to work through the rust and the kinks of having maybe 10 to 14 days off, right? We saw that with Chris Paul come out of quarantine in the series against the Clippers. He was rusty. He went 19 of 60 in his first 60 shots. That's terrible. We saw that with Trae Young try to come back from the bone bruise on his foot in game six. He was nowhere near 100% full go, and it showed. And so I think maybe Giannis seeing that, like, hey, I'm not going to be at my best right off the get-go. Let me get out there. Let's see how I do. But I think you have that conversation in the locker room with your guys, and you say, look, I'm not the number one option tonight. I don't feel my best. Drew, you still need to attack the paint. You still need to be just as efficient as you have been driving to the basket. Chris, the shots are still going to you. And I think if you have that conversation where you set the expectation for your teammates, I think you fare well. To your point, if he goes out there and he wants the ball, like we've seen throughout the entirety of this season, and he's 75%, then the expectation starts to shift and there's panic within the game from his teammates. And that's absolutely not what you want.
You're right. And Katie, this is a team that seems to have a real understanding of itself in that way. Chinay Golick Jr. here, Mike Golick Jr. and Katie George. Like, they were talking about how vocal Giannis was on the sideline. They all seem to be great teammates. Like, we talk about the culture word all the time in sports, but this genuinely seems to be like a healthy team culture around these guys. And so maybe they've got the wherewithal to have Giannis step up and say, hey, man, listen, guys, it's not going to be the usual thing out there. You guys need to keep doing your thing on this. And he can empower those guys. But all of this swirling around it is a lot of the reason why Jay Williams, one of our great NBA analysts and co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will and Zubin, said he thinks the pressure's squarely on the shoulders of Milwaukee in this series.
How many times have we fired Coach Bud? I mean, it's been like 8,000 times on social media.
Yeah.
Now we have this matchup between Monty Williams. If you know any of the story about Monty Williams, the fact that him surviving through his wife's passing and being an incredible father and putting himself, almost manifesting the fact that he's gotten there. What a colossal matchup. But now Giannis, a pair of MVPs, gets a chance to get a championship because he has no rings. And Milwaukee, the better defensive team, brings the best player, in my opinion, with the best individual matchups. I know we ask this question all the time in media. Most to lose. I'm not going to say that. Most to gain. I think for Giannis, right now at this stage of his career, I think this has a lot of pressure on the Bucks to really cement the deal and confirm the legacy for a team that's been considered to be the best regular season basketball team in the NBA over the last several years.
Katie, I disagree with the pressure argument here just because I think for the Suns, Chris Paul's 36 years old, has been in the league 16 years. Like, there are no guarantees as father time marches along, but I think he's right about the most to gain here because you and I both agree Chris Paul's kind of a made man already. Giannis is in a different stratosphere once you go back-to-back MVPs and do the kind of things that he's done in this league, and so we're putting him in that level of, all right, we expect you to be in the LeBron James, Kevin Durant mold of guy that we count on winning multiple of these, so it feels like breaking through markedly more important for him right now.
I believe he'd be the only player, Mike, to have two MVPs, one Defensive Player of the Year trophy, as well as an NBA Finals to his name by the age of 26 would be absolutely phenomenal. But to your point, I do think there's pressure because this core group that's together, yeah, there might be some changes to the roster like we see with every team, right, and from season to season. I don't think you find yourself in a playoff situation where you face the Brooklyn Nets, who then get injury riddled, right, with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. I also don't think you see yourself fighting through a 7-game series against a caliber team like that to find that the Hawks did their job and got through a grueling team in the 76ers. And then, oh, by the way, in that series against the Hawks to win an Eastern Conference championship, Trae Young, their best player, goes down. I don't know about you when you were at Notre Dame. I was always told, look, you got to be playing at your best, peaking at the right time, but you also need a little bit of luck if you're going to win a championship. And right now, I feel like Milwaukee, yes, has done their job. Guys have stepped up night in and night out when they've been called upon, but they've also had some luck. They had the luck against the Nets. They also had a little luck against the Atlanta Hawks. And so I think it's now or never kind of right now for them. Yes, I think they'll win more championships moving forward, but right now things are shaping up for the perfect storm for the Milwaukee Bucks.
It's so true, and it's not like Giannis is an old player, but Katie, no. It feels like we've been knocking on the door with this team for some time. It feels in a lot of ways like another Eastern Conference team and the Raptors used to be in LeBron James' old Eastern Conference, where you're the one seed every year and you're constantly pushing, yeah. And you need that one extra bit to break through. Now, reminder, the NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 1 as Cam Johnson and the Suns host Bobby Portis and the Bucks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. But coming up next, what does a title mean for Chris Paul's legacy? And was he taking a little shot at one of his good buddies in the media earlier? We'll get to that with one of our guests next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
When did DJ Khaled become the official voice for the Phoenix Suns in their home arena, by the way, for this playoff run? Mike Golic Jr., Katie George here on Janae and Golic Jr. Katie, were you like up to speed on that one? Because I was very caught off guard when I started hearing him all playoffs for them.
Yes, I did not know that until actually you just said it right now.
Oh, there we go. Well,
news,
you know
to
what?
Me. Thanks listen. For educating me.
But that is what we're here to do at ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. We'll head now to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to what I'm sure is a huge DJ Khaled fan in Dave McMenamin, our ESPN NBA reporter. Dave, do I have that right?
DJ Khaled. Yeah, sure. Why not? Who is it?
Exactly.
I want to live my life like
sounds
that. Just be
like
unabashedly
him.
Overweight and just think I'm living life.
It's like, honestly, it sounds like a good gig. And Dave, from someone who is kind of tangent to that area, I can assure you, being a little on the fluffier
side,
there's a lot of good that comes with
another
that.
Another one.
Perfect. All right.
I mean, now there's certainly, you have that Tony Soprano appeal.
Exactly. Listen, it's just more to love, Dave. So now that we've established you as the number one source on DJ Khaled fandom for this radio show, let's also tap into the series that DJ Khaled and the rest of us are getting ready to watch in Game 1 here. Giannis's status has been moving throughout the day, Dave. What's the latest you've heard on that front, if anything, about Giannis and what we have leading up to game time?
Just that he's been able to do some on-court workouts leading up to Game 1. He did one on Saturday, he did one Monday, and he's been upgraded, from doubtful to questionable. And certainly the way these things go, usually if they're starting to change the status, there's pressure from the player on the team saying, like, hey, I can do this. I can give it a go. And as Malika Andrews and Adrian Wojnarowski reported, his plan is to test this thing out, and if it feels right to him, get the go-ahead and be back in the lineup.
So, Dave, we heard Coach Monty Williams say, they're preparing for Giannis and they're preparing for no Giannis. What happens if he does go or doesn't go? How does that impact the Phoenix Suns' defensive schemes? Can you play out both scenarios for me?
Yeah, certainly, Katie. The Bucks play a similar style without Giannis. Obviously, they're not nearly as devastating in the open court in transition and 3-on-2 and 2-on-1. Giannis is one of the most unstoppable players in the open court, but their goal, whether it's fast break opportunities or half court, is to get into the paint. And so their recognition is we got to wall off the paint and try to make them perimeter oriented. Make guys like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Pat Connaughton beat us and Brook Lopez beat us with three pointers rather than beat us with layups and dunks and then free throws when we foul them to try to prevent them from layups and dunks. And so on that sense, the Suns have been able to keep their minds focused on a similar defensive tactic, whether you have Giannis or not.
Dave, whether they have Giannis or not, certainly going to affect on the other side what the Bucks do defensively against the Suns. You had an article up on Chris Paul, who's already getting out in front, talking about the criticism received for the shortened season, guys like LeBron James saying they saw all these injuries coming. He said everyone had the same opportunity to speak up on this issue. Is Chris Paul already getting out ahead of all the doubters who are trying to say that this postseason is marred or changed some way because of what we've seen injury-wise?
Well, you could say it's a bit of the spin cycle, but you could also say that, listen, there would be no bubble if it wasn't for Chris Paul's leadership. And if there was no bubble, we would have entered into a lockout in the NBA. And that would mean there'd be no season this year. And so any criticism that wants to be levied towards Chris Paul, if you don't consider the context of that, of the job he did, basically bringing consensus to a very contentious time in the NBA and in this country, obviously all the social unrest that was occurring last summer and the fact that people would leave their hurting communities to go into a bubble for 3 months, leave their families, leave their friends, leave their loved ones. The only way that happened was the business sense and the personal touch acumen that Chris Paul brought to the process. And so if you want to, after the fact, levy criticism at the way these playoffs played out, just recognize there wouldn't have been playoffs, period, in my estimation, without Chris Paul's leadership last year. And so, you know, so be it. Why cry about spilled milk? Certainly, Chris Paul is someone who has had an open door policy, and no one wants to see anybody get injured. He's got injured himself these playoffs, but it's a war of attrition out there.
Dave, really quickly before we go, there's been a lot of talk about people saying, well, if Chris Paul can win an NBA title, then he'll cement his legacy in NBA history. Hasn't he already cemented it already?
He certainly has, but just the culture of the sport, Katie, we know that you get in one of two categories. By Dirk Nowitzki winning late in his career, he avoids becoming a Karl Malone, a John Stockton, a Patrick Ewing, a Charles Barkley, guys who are considered all-time greats. But with that extra stamp of approval, with that extra sepia tone memory of him hoisting up the Larry O'Brien trophy that makes its way into the highlight package that runs on ABC before every finals game one every year, he will be in a different category. If he can finish the job, he will certainly have another bullet point on his resume that allows you to include him in the conversation with the best point guards of all time when you consider someone like a Bob Cousy or Isaiah Thomas. He would be right there.
Another great bullet point in the resume for Dave McMenamin, dropping sepia tones into the analysis here. That's the great stuff you get from number one DJ Khaled fan, Dave McMenamin, our ESPN NBA reporter. Dave, we appreciate the time. We're looking forward to game one tonight, man. Have a great time, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff from Dave McMenamin as we get you ready to lead up to game one of the NBA Finals that you'll be able to hear right here at ESPN Radio, coverage starting at 8 o'clock Eastern. Coming up next, though, we're about a week into name, image, and likeness in college sports, and we may have finally gotten to the biggest development since this thing became legal on July 1st. We'll tell you what that change is next after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, any of you guys have a long list of DIY projects that you have to tackle at home here? I got a whole sink that needs replacing at this point. I told you yesterday, I've been putting this thing off for a while, just living with it. I got to get right. So take a 5-Hour Energy shot so you can check everything off your list. That is my plan as of right now. 5-Hour Energy is the brand that hardworking people like you have trusted for 17 years to keep them alert and energized during those hectic days. So go to 5hourenergy.com today and use promo code GOLIC to receive 10% off your order. That's the number 5hourenergy.com, promo code GOLIC for 10% off. This offer cannot be used with other promotions, and the code is not applicable on subscription orders. Name, image, and likeness just got the biggest development yet. Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
DJ Khaled!
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Man, the entire sports world's kind of going nuts right now. We're waiting for Giannis' status on game one. The match is getting ready to pop off with Bryson DeChambeau taking awkward helicopter rides to the course. And now we got penalty kicks in Spain and in Italy in the Euros. Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Katie George filling in for Jhené today. The pressure's mounting, Katie. I'm sweating right now. I don't know which TV to look at. It's insane.
I've got a side monitor right here, so if I don't respond in a timely manner, just poke me again, okay?
That is true. If you're watching ESPN Plus right now, maybe you got the Euros on in another room or something like that, just wait for the reaction from Katie George, and you will know something has come up as we get ready ready for penalty kicks in that one here. But, Katie, you and I both spend a lot of time covering college football around this network as well as a number of other responsibilities. And name, image, and likeness has been the big story in college sports for the last week. Became legal for college athletes to profit off that starting on July 1st of this summer. And now we probably have the biggest development. We've seen deals signed. We've seen money change hands already. But this one's pretty wild. Katie, have you heard any of what's going on with the University of Miami Hurricanes right now and maybe the biggest show of support yet for a program?
No, I'm trying to read up on it as we speak. They've got a mega fan who's got a lot of money and a company of MMA gyms. Is that right? And now he's going to start paying every scholarship athlete on the football team?
Yeah, it gets a little interesting, Katie. So that's the general premise of it here. I want to dive into what this means because this is quietly what everyone who is opposing name, image, and likeness talked about being afraid of all along. Let's hit it right here in One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
So, Katie, yeah, you are correct. Dan Lambert, who's the owner of American Top Team and a longtime Miami football fan, has offered every scholarship player, 90 players on the Miami football team, a monthly payment of $500 this year to advertise his gyms on social media. It could add up to as much as $540,000, which would be the largest reported sum for a college endorsement deal since the NIL laws went into effect. This all being reported by our ESPN staff writer, Dan Murphy. Now, Lambert has formed an LLC, a corporation, excuse me, called Bring Back the U, that's going to be solely focused on putting money in the pockets of Miami players. He said he's going to try and rally support from local businesses, host fundraisers that would pour money in donations into different businesses to pay the Miami players to be their spokespersons here. And Katie, under the Florida name, image, and likeness laws, it was one of the states that had a law that went into place for this, one of, I believe, the seven states. None of this is technically illegal, so
it's above board.
Katie, how worried do you think people are that this is going to start to look like the pay-for-play money being fumbled by bad actors through car dealerships that everyone kind of threw out at the beginning of all this?
Yeah, it's certainly a loophole that is now out in the open, right? Because take Reggie Bush, because he's been making headlines because he wants his Heisman Trophy back, right? And rightfully so. He produced on the field. We saw the stats. He was by far the best college football player during that time period. And he received a house for his parents in San Diego, some money in cash for himself, as well as, I think, $10,000 for his family to furnish that home. Well, now all you have to do to be able to get those items as an athlete, a star player for whatever team, whatever university, is have a guy like Dan Lambert say, okay, come speak at my fundraiser. We're going to have an event. I'll pay you $50,000. Right? I mean, there are donors and there are people like Dan Lambert who care so much about their school, their team, going back to the promised land, bring back the U, right? That they'll go to these kind of links. I mean, $540,000 to pay $500 to each scholarship kid, that's $45,000 a month he's just funneling to the Miami football players so that they can advertise for his gyms on their social media. I mean, this is the step around, right? But now it's all legal for some schools in certain states, Florida being one. So I definitely think that this is just the start. This is one very, very large domino that's going to happen across the country in terms of people wanting to funnel and put money where their mouth is so that they can get better recruits and better products on their teams.
And Katie, this is exactly what happens when you're the NCAA and you fall asleep at the wheel for so long and you don't put guardrails in.
They have no one to blame but themselves.
Yep. And listen, I'm all for this. Like, I know people are going to say that this mimics pay for play. Good. Like, I'm cool with this because essentially what you've got, and this guy, Dan Lambert, has gone and talked to the compliance department at the school. He's hired Darren Heitner, who is one of the lawyers that actually helped crash the NIL law in Florida. And he said his past status as a donor to the school does not prevent him from forming a corporation that does this and raises money to pour into these. And so, you know what, Katie, what we're going to see, this is a copycat league, as I'm sure every other program right now is looking around to their donors and the people that have worked hard to make sure the football programs do well, maybe under the table before, and saying, all right, this is how it can look now. And if our state laws don't allow that, I have a feeling we're going to see even more politicking going on from some of these coaches than we do during the CFP.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's going to be some some phone calls made of, hey, why don't we just change this or tweak this just a little bit? And that's unfortunate, right? Because it's an arms race. It feels like an arms race of who has the best scenario for their schools in that given state, and everybody's trying to play catch up, right? I think it was 2 days prior to July 1st when Kentucky's Governor Andy Beshear signed our executive order so that schools here in the state of Kentucky, athletes could start capitalizing on their NIL. That felt like a rush decision because they were in the 11th hour, and oh, God forbid, other states can start drawing in recruits, some athletes from Kentucky, and people don't stay at home or come to the institutions here because they can't make money. It's going to be really interesting to see how all of this plays out. I am for NIL, definitely, because I want student athletes to be able to capitalize on their brand and to put some more money in their pocket, right? But without having governing laws from the top, being federal or national, I think that this gets out of hand and gets a little crazy.
And this is the time to do it if, by the way, you're someone looking to support your program. While everyone, including the school athletic departments, are all trying to get a handle on this, if you are smart, lawyered, and business savvy, you too can find a way to support your favorite college football program. And again, this is not something that comes out of the athletic department budget. And so naysayers, it's not going to affect the other sports on campus. It's not going to do that for the people that say, well, the rich are just going to get richer. This has already been happening in one way, shape, or form. The money is just finally going to the people playing the sport. Katie, what I'm most excited to see, though, is you know there's going to be one smaller school, maybe a school outside of the normal power players that we're used to, who's got some famous rich alumni that we don't know of right now, as Katie George is celebrating.
Italia! They've done it! An absolute weldie, Mike! An absolute weldie!
Useful shot!
As 4-3 and pins, are you kidding me?
Incredible mid-game analysis from Katie George.
I don't even know who kicked the last one. Sorry.
Hey, listen, you know what? We got the results there, so congratulations to fans of Italy and the Euros right now getting a big one.
Absolute
against Spain today.
Agony in the Spaniards' faces. Pure elatement from the Italians.
Katie, you got a future in this. Like, and this is the best part is with that accent, you can say the meanest things on earth and it still plays because it sounds so lovely and cheery.
It does. You know what? What a gift to have an accent where you can say whatever you want and it comes off as a compliment or polite.
I can say it's amazing. My accent basically just sounds like I'm always chewing or have my mouth full whenever I'm saying something, which honestly, not too far off from the truth. So there you go. Italy gets a win in the Euros. Name, image, and likeness supporters and really the players get a huge win as now we have got a weird workaround for getting some money into the hands of these players that I'm sure more and more schools are going to start to take advantage of. But coming up next, speaking of take advantage of, will Tom Brady do the world a favor and get some big answers out of Aaron Rodgers on the golf course today? We'll check in on the match next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Katie George just coming back down off the high of Italy winning in penalty kicks in the Euros right now. Katie, how are we feeling over there? You were elated during that last segment.
I know that if you ask soccer players or footballers how they want games to end, they never want games to come down to PKs because it was such a hard-fought match, right? And they say that the PKs are just fun for fans. I absolutely love when games are decided by PKs. I think it's so exciting. I would say it's like in my top five of finales of sports, of any kind of games. So I was locked in. Now, you were making a very good point about NIL, I'm sure, but I've got to be honest with you. I don't think I caught the tail end of what you were saying.
You know what? Totally understandable. I saw it on your face. Katie was trying to be a great, and Chenang Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. with Katie George filling in today. Katie was trying to be a good friend. Let me finish my point. But I saw as she tried to hold in the sound, her body betrayed her. Fists were in the air, and she was ready to rock on this one. So congrats to Italy on the win in Euros. But Katie, we've got that going on. We're taking everyone up till game one of the finals right now. And we've also got the match going on. Brady and Mickelson against Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers in the match. They're out here golfing in Big Sky. And it's exciting to see the golf, Katie. But we know the real undercurrent of this is Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers out there. There's a little bit of news with Aaron Rodgers this offseason, Katie, that I'm sure you've been following here. A lot of people wondering if Tom Brady might be able to pry some answers out of him on the golf course this afternoon.
Yeah, and I really hope that he does. And I wouldn't actually put it past Phil Mickelson to try to go to him as well, right? Because you've got Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson on one side playing together, and then you've got Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau playing together. And so Phil Mickelson has been known to talk his fair share of crap over the years as well. So I could see like a Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson tag team kind of thing here, where they just try to goad him a little bit just to see what they can get out of him. But we already saw in the promos a little bit of that back and forth go on. And if it's any tell of what's to come for the match, I'm really excited to see it go down.
Yeah, this was Tom Brady, who is just completely unlocked now after leaving New England and heading down to Tampa, drunkenly throwing Lombardis on boats. This was Tom Brady in the lead up as they were playing a get to know your opponent's Jeopardy game when he was asked about a certain quarterback he was going up against. This was Tom.
He's an NBA owner, a self-taught guitarist, and has guest starred in both The Office and Game of Thrones.
He's unhappy with his boss and has no options. Who is Aaron Rodgers?
Ding, ding. That is correct. Well done.
That's a projection, Tom. I never said I'm unhappy with my boss.
I said it, not you.
That's right, where Aaron slid Tom the check under the table and said, thank you for continuing to speak my truth to the public, I feel like, Katie.
When did Tom Brady's mantra in life shift to not caring at all about what anybody thinks? Was it when he tossed that trophy across the sea?
I feel like it was, because he talked about it after and saying, you know, that trophy's sharp, it's heavy, that could have gone really wrong. And in that moment, he just kind of realized, I have nothing left to prove to anybody, and it's warm, and I'm kind of buzzed on this boat. So that does feel like the moment, Katie. But he said out loud what we've been talking about all summer, and it's been very quiet lately. Aaron Rodgers, in the lead up to this tournament, was talking about taking this time for his mental health. Not saying that he's dealt with anything like depression or anything of that severity, but just getting himself in the best mind frame possible. It's been quiet for a while. Do you think any of his status or any of the way he views this situation is set to change, Katie, or are we due for this stare down to continue into camp?
I think we're due for a stare down, certainly. And I think if anybody's going to win that stare down, it's Aaron Rodgers. I think he's stubborn enough to be able to say, I'm going to sit here and play chicken with you, and I swear you're going to swerve first. I thought what was interesting about Monday's media availability for the match, you know, of course, some of those conversations and questions start shifting back towards his job as a football player and his status with the Green Bay Packers. And he used a proverb, which, of course, is very Aaron Rodgers-esque,
yes,
as well as Bryson DeChambeau, by the way. Like, I think that these two nerds are going to have an absolute ball together. They were meant to be partners in golf. I think they're very, very similar. But he said sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the smartest person. Sometimes the loudest person in the room is not the person who has all the facts on their side or the truth on their side. Sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in silence. Sometimes there's a lot of wisdom in being selective of what you say. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers is very much playing that up right now as we see it.
I think he's going to take that strategy too all the way through camp, Katie. Meaning, yeah, we use it all the time here in this industry. You'll hear a lot of reporters, people that are great interviewers, tell you, if you give your subject some silence, the tendency, human nature, is to fill the silence. And if Aaron Rodgers gives the Packers a void, I have a feeling we're going to keep seeing them have to be the ones to come out and address this. Aaron Rodgers can sit around during training camp, and guess what Matt LaFleur and that staff are going to get asked about every single day as that slow march towards the season starts to pick up. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers can win this, Katie. Tom Brady said he has no options, and he might be right as we get closer and closer to the season, but you said it. I think Aaron Rodgers is stubborn enough to make this a fight that could go into the regular season. So we'll pay attention to plenty of that with Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if Tom Brady or Phil Mickelson can get us that bite out on the course here today as the match is running wild. But we do also have Game 1 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight, and we have seen updates during the day about the status of Giannis Antetokounmpo heading into Game 1. What's driving this sudden change? We'll tell you next. You're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.